Mission Chats with John Crow.
Welcome back to Mission Chats. This is the third and final episode of my conversation with Seelan Govender, who is the CEO of OM Ships International. In this episode, he shares what he is seeing bigger picture in the world of missions, and also shares some insights and some thoughts on how to get involved, especially if you are in an area of the world where raising support may be a little more challenging. So I hope this will be some encouragement to you as you listen.
I'd love to hear just a little bit of your perspective. You serve a global church, as it were, and so I'd love to hear what you're seeing as far as the wind change in missions today.
I think what we're experiencing is that there is a greater moving away, if you will, from the sacred and the secular.
Mm-hmm.
Often in the past, it seems as though the work of the missionary in New Zealand is somehow a little bit more spiritual, a little bit more holy than the person that is working, you know, 5 days a week, or maybe selling or driving a taxi, etc. Yeah. I think what we're seeing is that this greater understanding that every role is important. Of course, we know it when we look at the story of the body in Corinthians. Every role is important, and God invites all people to join him. So I'm seeing a strong push right now around the marketplace. Mm-hmm. I am convinced that as I engage with leaders around the world and churches around the world, that the next great move of God, if it's not happening already, is in the marketplace.
Mm.
We are seeing fundamental changes in quote-unquote normal, ordinary people serving in the marketplace, seeing a great response of movement to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing we are seeing right now. The church in the South, meaning Asia, Africa, and Latin America, statistically, the center of Christianity has shifted southwards.
Right.
Where the church in those parts of the world is exploding. And the model of missions and the method of mission for them is fundamentally different.
Yep.
Of course, they struggle with raising funds like me to come to a mission organization, but that does not stop them. We are seeing a much more holistic, integrated view of the gospel of the kingdom instead of separating, well, did I preach Jesus or not?
Right.
It's much more holistic in how they proclaim, how they demonstrate, and the impact that is happening in society. That is the big question that they're asking right now.
Mm.
The church in the South is asking, as a result of God's people in its present, how is society changing?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're seeing this greater move towards understanding the redemptive work that Jesus is doing among societies as a whole as well,
yeah,
right now. The third fundamental move we are seeing is urbanization. So when we think of missions, and I think we are still challenged, many mission organizations, is that we have beautiful visions and strategies, but I think sometimes we still have the strategy within the context of a rural world.
Right.
Well, today, 52% of the world's population lives within urban spaces. By 2030, that's going to go to 62%. So most of the world lived in cities. Of course, scripture is also quite clear to us. It starts in a garden, it ends in a city.
Right.
So cities, I think, are becoming much more important, but it's much more complex to reach cities.
Yep.
The problems are super complex, etc. Whereas the problems in rural, yes, challenging, but not as complex.
Mm.
In the rural, there's a clear hierarchy of leadership, culture, language, customs. In cities, all of that is deconstructed in some way or form. People don't gather around language necessary or culture or lead. They gather around lived experience. They gather around need. They gather around cause. And it could be people from countries that are maybe warring in their countries, but they find themselves in the city where they're their best of friends.
Right.
So, but yet the complex, and I think the issue of urban poor becomes much more challenging to us. And so we are asking the question, even in the ship ministry, what does the gospel look like when we look at the impacting whole cities with it?
Mm.
And how do we engage? So I think we are seeing a move away from the sense of a traditional mission sending agency. The role of agencies are being questioned and asking, what is the ongoing value add to the church in this part of the world? And if it's not involved in seeing society move towards embracing who Jesus is, what is the point of it?
Sure. Yeah.
So I think we're focused on that right now. So the whole issue of when we look at urbanization, the whole issue when we look at the church in the South and the models and the pathways and the methods they have for mission. They're saying what we see of what we inherited is not where we believe the Lord is leading us.
Yeah.
So, for example, Africa right now is the ships visiting Africa with the theme, God's story in and from Africa told by Africans.
Mm.
So they're choosing to not use words like mission mm-hmm. or church even, because in the African context, that words mean something completely different than what they intend to communicate.
Okay.
And so they talk about God's story and what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
They talk about, you know, on the African continent, but also from the African continent. So traditionally, it's people are always on the move. Right now, we're seeing much more movement of people for various reasons, war, economic opportunities, etc. I'm living in Germany. I play soccer every Monday night with some refugees from Afghanistan, Persia, Syria, Iraq, etc. Mm-hmm. They've come here for economic opportunity because of war, because of all of that, separated from families. But there are also some Christians that are moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what we're seeing is this move of God's people. Young students, you know, 30,000 Africans today are given full scholarships to come and study in China, wow. at universities in China. And so we're asking the question, if Africa is the continent that has the largest number of Christians, if 5,000 of those students are really committed followers of Jesus and they truly understand that while they go and study, given a visa scholarship, but they're actually going as part of a representative of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
What is our role in helping them understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are focusing on, in saying there's already movement of God's people, and our role is simply to help them understand that they go as his image bearers there.
Yeah.
And they don't have to give up that to go to somewhere else, to be called something in order to feel as though they're contributing to God's kingdom, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that. Amazing to see those changes in the landscape of missions currently, and exciting to hear OM and others trying to tap into that and be in step with the Lord. So as we wrap this up, Seelan, I just love to hear kind of what advice would you give to someone considering how to do this? And maybe, you know, I think a lot of my listeners are Western, let's call it Northern country based, but I'd like obviously try and get more from the Global South engaged in this podcast. And yeah, so if someone's listening from a nation in Africa or Latin America or somewhere where traditional missions just isn't a model that's really workable, how would you encourage that young person who's trying to figure out how to do this?
I think for me, what I'm seeing is that I would suggest that pursue this person called Jesus, firstly. Mm. And let me say, John, as a parenthesis, that while we see the rise of the church in the South, by no way should we interpret that to mean that the role of God's people in North America or Europe mm-hmm. is insignificant.
Right.
When we think of God and his kingdom and the body, every role is important.
Mm-hmm.
And we must be clear that God invites all of his people to join him. Whether they come from the East, the West, the North, the South, it does not matter.
Amen.
All of his people are invited to join him. So particularly for those in the South where they say, you know, it's not that the challenge of raising finances is not within our ambit, etc.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is that find places where God is already working within the context that they are among people. He is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Get close to those people. One of the strong points is get exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Be exposed. On the ships, that is one of the strongest ways, is it helps broaden the understanding of who Jesus is as you rub shoulders with his followers from all over the world.
Right.
Your view of Jesus gets much, much bigger. So find some places where you can expose yourself to that. And find internships, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership development opportunities. Be upskilled and then see your role or the giftings, the passion that the Lord has given you as you find places to get exposure, move in that direction and say, in light of what God has given me, where in the world, God, do you want me to use this to see redemption take place in that society? I am always asking the question, John, how do we know God's kingdom has come in a place? We look for signs.
Yeah.
What are the signposts to his kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's many. In my mind, beauty, justice, restoration, reconciliation, forgiveness, peace, shalom. These are all signposts that the kingdom has come and the king is there. And we as his image bearers, we go and we seek these things out. and using our tools, using our skills, using our presence, our prayers. So I would encourage a young person from North America, from South America, it doesn't matter,
right,
that find ways to get exposed to what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Be inquisitive as to where God is working and rush to those places to sit down with people, ask them, broaden their understanding. And if you find places like, you know, the ships or short-term opportunities with a church or anywhere, take those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about what you're going to learn or what you contribute in those opportunities. I'm convinced your view of Jesus changes as you watch someone else follow him.
Amen.
And that's one of the biggest lessons I'm learning again and again is gain different perspectives. That's what I would encourage. And the Lord will be faithful to leading and guiding all of us to the place that he wants us at that time.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful. Thank you, Seelan. I really, appreciate that insight and wisdom. I don't know if you've seen it. There's a movie called A Distant Boat, which is actually produced from within Africa, telling a story of a young man's kind of hunger and desire to be a missionary in kind of a workplace. But I think, definitely recommend that. It was really an enjoyable movie that sort of encapsulates how that can be happening today in our modern world in an African context. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Seelan. This has been such an encouragement just to, again, hear your story and hear what the Lord's doing in the ministry. Obviously, a ministry that's been instrumental in my own life personally, and always encouraged to just see how he's continuing to use it to further his kingdom in the world. And so, appreciate your time here. And if people want to connect with the Ship Ministry, what's the best way? You said you had Instagram, so I'm sure people could find you on Instagram. But the ministry as a whole, where would you point them to find out a bit more?
Yeah, I think the best way is we have an office in the US, omships.org or gbaships.org are the two sites you can go to. And there's contact addresses. If people were interested to know a little bit more, we'd love to engage with you on that. Yeah. But thank you so much, John, for the opportunity, and every blessing to you and all your listeners. May they experience the Lord Jesus in a profound way.
Amen. Thank you, Seelan.
I hope you've enjoyed this final episode of my conversation with Seelan. Thank you again for listening. Please do share this with those you think may be interested. And if you have any feedback, you can always email me at John, J-O-N, at missionchats.com.
Find us online at missionchats.com.